You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no more other announcements or anything, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Ephesians 3, 9 through 12. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And Father God, I just want to thank you again for the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and forsake. Amen.
Well, I hope you're not getting tired of this. I mean, we keep reading the same verse, but there's just so much here that, and there's really not that much. It doesn't seem like that much, but when you stop and think, if you listen to the commission that the church pretty much embraces today, which is go ye therefore into all nations, they can preach on that for months too. Ours is so specific, but it entails such a revelation that men and women have not heard, and they truly have not heard it. And when you begin to talk about it, have you ever talked to one about it? And you talk to them, and they just are just completely bamboozled by it. It amazes me, but I've got guys in our Bible study on Thursday morning, and when you talk to them about the fellowship of the mystery and all that encompasses, and you begin to detail certain things, and I mentioned one last week, inheritance and salvation. Everybody, you know, salvation is one thing, inheritance is another, and you begin to talk about rewards. They're just kind of, you know, like, you know, they dig their heels and go, I don't believe that. And today we're going to talk about something else that they dig their heels in, and that is that some things God gives us and some things he doesn't give us. That's true. There are some things that God has revealed to us. And even those things he's revealed to us in a set time. Not all does he just give. So I'll give some examples of that. Then there's some things that he's revealed, but he's kind of kept hushed up. He's kept it a secret in order that his plans may not be defeated. And then there's some things that he just never revealed at all, that he kept within himself until the time of the revelation. And that, of course, deals with the mystery. There's other things, and I'm sure that you'll understand them when we get to them, that don't belong to us, that do belong to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their calling, and do appear to us in the Scripture. But I'll get to that later. We need to start with prayer, and then I'll get back to the Scripture, and we'll start there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this fellowship. Thank you for this day that you've appointed for each of us to be here. We pray for those that aren't. We pray, Father, now that each heart need be met, that your Spirit be the teacher. And we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Okay. Everybody know a guy named Hubble? Edwin Hubble? You know, they named this telescope that on a satellite that's going around the Earth. They put it up there in 1990. Now, they started that mission in 1943. And you wonder, why did it take so long to get that satellite and that telescope up there in the sky? And, of course, it just one thing after another defeated that mission until finally they got the resources, they got the capability, they had the success, and they were able to put it up there. It's up there now, and it's having some trouble, and they're having to readjust it and fix it. And you wonder, why are they doing that? I mean, what's so important about it? Well, you probably know what's important about it. It's that telescope that's helped us see some of the most amazing pictures of celestial wonderment that the eyes of man have ever seen. Now, why Hubble? Who was Hubble? Well, Hubble was this astronomer who in California back in the early 1920s had them built this huge telescope on Mount Wilson called the Mount Wilson Observatory. You know, it's this big round dome and opens up and inside this huge telescope. And during the 1920s, he began to look beyond the Milky Way. See, up until that time, the Milky Way, our galaxy, familiar with the Milky Way, 100,000 light years wide, and about, it's a spiral galaxy, it's in the shape of a disk, and it's about 10,000 light years deep, except in the hub, where all the concentration over 200,000 billion stars in this whole galaxy, the concentration of all those stars are in that center core, and it's about 20,000, 25,000 light years thick. You know a light year? It's a long way. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. One of these days you'll probably get to experience it if you're a believer, but not today. Not in this lifetime. In spite of beam me up, Scotty, I don't think we're going to see that. But he began to turn this Mount Wilson Observatory Telescope up to the heavens, and he began to see things beyond the Milky Way. Up until that time, most astronomers really believed that the Milky Way was the edge and the end of the universe. That was it. They didn't go any further. They couldn't see any further. Isn't it amazing? Now, I'm going backwards in time. I'm going backwards and looking at it, but it goes back even further than that. For 1,800 years, the teaching of Aristotle and Ptolemy was that the Earth was the center of the universe. It didn't move, but everything, the moon, the sun, the stars, all moved around the Earth. That's the geocentric view until about 1500s, 1540, Nicholas Copernicus, a Polish astronomer, looked to the skies, and he came up with a Copernican theory that, well, really, the sun is the center of our solar system and all the planets revolve around it. It caused no small problem. Huge problem, because the church supported the older idea for 1,800 years. The church supported that, you know, the earth was the center and that we were the center of God's thoughts and activities. And well, things changed. And so then came up the astronomers and the people who believed in evolution and who believed in secularism and that there is no God, or that if there is, he doesn't have a thing to do with us, came up with what is called the Copernican principle. And that is that there is really no significance to our Earth. There's no significance as to us. And we're not important in the plan and the design of God. Well, today there's an argument called intelligent design, and it's challenging all of these ideas. And most of these ideas were made popular by that guy, Carl Sagan. I didn't say pagan. I said Carl Sagan. And, you know, he, that little blue dot, he used to call it, and, billions and billions and billions of years ago. All this stuff just happened. Amazing. That man could actually look at the circumstances and the situation and the environment and everything around him and say that things just happened. And really, Hubble really began to show us that, you know, these things probably didn't just happen, because there's no explanation for the amount of speed by which things are moving away from us. From our not our solar system, but from our galaxy. All these millions of other galaxies that have billions of stars in them are moving away from us. And it's just, there is a sign on the church down on Britain Road. I think it was the Church of Christ there by Johnny's, and it says, okay, admit it. None of this makes any sense without God. Right? Yeah, how true that is. And when it comes to the mystery, really, if you're a student of Scripture, none of the things in Scripture make any sense without the revelation of God. You know, when David was sitting there back in the 11th century B.C. and he was tending his sheep out in the fields of Israel and Judea around Bethlehem, he'd look up at the stars. He could see that milky glow of the Milky Way galaxy up there in the sky. And he said some marvelous things about it. You know, the heavens do declare the glory of God. But he didn't know what Hubble found out. He didn't even know what Copernicus came up with. Or he was way before Aristotle and Ptolemy, who, you know, began to talk about this geocentric. But he knew one thing. He knew that God created it because the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, the wise men, there's some things they didn't know. And so when they got to Jerusalem, when they saw the star in the east, and they got to Jerusalem, and I'm jumping into what our lesson is today, there were some things they didn't know. And so they asked Herod, where is he who's born king of the Jews? Well, Herod didn't know either because he wasn't Jewish. So he called the scribes together. You remember that? He called the scribes and he asked them where, when, what. Well, and they found that little verse over in Micah that said he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judah. And so that's what they told him. But see, even the scribes who had been commissioned by God to keep the scriptures didn't understand. See, it was hidden from them that, one, that the birth of the Savior of the world had taken place. Totally hidden from them. And here they are, the ones who had the responsibility of maintaining the oracles of God. See, God does hide things from people. And so when I get to that point and I say, you know, God does hide things until the timing of the revelation is ready, then he does it. And so when we talk about the fellowship of the mystery, the last phrase, and I want to apologize because last week I did say we were going to go into verse 10 to the intent that now into the principalities and powers. We're not going to do that this week. Because as I began to study, I began to realize we hadn't covered the fact that the mystery itself had been hidden in God. Now, we did talk about the 2U. You remember the 2U in Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 2, Paul says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Now, I changed that a little bit, and I want you to put the little numeral 2 and then the letter U. There's 2 U's. One of the U's is that this mystery was unique. It's so unique that no one had any idea about it. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, that it was hidden in God and you could never find any aspect of it in Scriptures. The second U was that it was unforeseen. And Paul talks about that. He says in verse 5, he says, which in other ages, what? This mystery, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. So there's, it's not found in time, and it's not found in generations. That's what the writer of Colossians, Paul, tells us over in chapter 1, verse 26. Now, let's go there and look at it real quick. You go, my goodness, we've done this so many times. This is so familiar to you. But you know, amazing thing, it's not familiar to other people when you begin to talk about it. Colossians 1:26. It says, even the mystery. Now, I want to point out one thing. Look at the last phrase in 25. It had been given to Paul to fulfill the word of God. That's fill it to the full. You see that? Let's just read the whole verse. Of which I'm made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. There's that to you. To complete or fulfill or fill to the full the word of God. Even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations. Now God does hide things. And he hides them until that time that men are ready for them. And I think we see this in the scientific area too. And I hope that little discourse on the Milky Way and Hubble and the astronomy kind of gives you a picture of that. There's some things that have been kept secret. I'm sure that there'll be a cure to the common cold one of these days. As people would always say, if the Lord tarries. I don't know when he's coming. I wish I could say when. I know that when Elijah shows up, that I know it's getting close. But until Elijah comes, there's nothing on the table as far as my understanding of Scripture. Israel's been set aside, Acts 28:28, and the salvation of God has been given and delivered into the Gentiles, and it's up to them to fulfill that time of the Gentiles that God has preordained for them to deal with. Now, I think there'll probably be cures for things that we don't even know exist yet. And as time goes on, space travel, You know, back in the 60s and growing up, we used to watch Star Trek. Who would have ever thought of these telecommunicators that, you know, the tricorder and other things like that, that you would just automatically have at your disposal? And we've got some of that stuff today. It's an amazing, amazing what modern technology is doing that was spoken about 40, 50 years ago. But those things were hidden from us. We thought they were kind of far-fetched. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Now, there's a book that was way ahead of its time. In 1948, there was a book that was called 1984. And it was way ahead of its time. But you stop and you ask yourself, how close are we to the things that were brought to our attention then? How about something from Scripture? How about the just shall live by faith? You know, Habakkuk wrote that a long time ago, probably around the 8th century B.C. And Martin Luther in the 15th, 16th century made it popular. The just shall live by faith. Good heavens, that's what, 2,300 years? Took a long time for that to reach home and for God to use it to propel the Protestant Reformation. Amazing. God does hide things. And I don't think that God has a basis by which He reveals things. And that's why if you come back to Ephesians chapter 1, we see that in that first prayer, in the first chapter of Ephesians, that Paul prays that verse 17, that we be given, look at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. And that's what the mystery does. It gives us a full knowledge of who Christ is. They didn't have that before. They had a knowledge of Christ. They did know about Him. I mean, we can go all the way back to the seed of the woman, and from that point on we can see even the devil knows about Him. Satan is aware of it, and we can see, and Max written a wonderful book called The Trail of the Serpent, and you can see the trail of the serpent throughout Scripture, how every time that God is planning something, the devil is right there trying to defeat it. Not that the devil knows about it, but when he sees it happening. For instance, when he saw Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, I don't like that fellowship. You know, that's not right. God has a man and a woman that are blessed and can have fellowship with Him. I want to destroy that fellowship. And so He came down in the form of a serpent. And the serpent is still going throughout history. We have Him today as the instigator of the warfare that we're involved in. And that's when we get to verse 10, when we start dealing with principalities and powers, we're going to look at more depth of that warfare. But I want you to see clearly that in Scripture there are things that have been hidden from the minds of men, and not always by God. Now, Paul had a hard time. Everywhere he went, he was confronted, and not just confronted, he was persecuted. Now, when he was persecuted, it was always by the Jew, because Paul had a new revelation. He said, you know, the Old Testament doesn't apply anymore. What's the Old Testament? Well, that's the law. And the Jews didn't want to give up the law because, well, I can show you why. Let's go look real quick. Go to Acts chapter 19. No, 17. I probably could find a couple of more before that. You know, Paul begins his missionary journeys in chapter 13. And here he's on his second missionary journey. And he goes throughout all these lands in Galatia. And he leaves Galatia. He goes across the Aegean Sea. And he goes into this little town called Philippi. And then from there he goes to Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, verse 1 of chapter 17, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom he preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. But the Jews who believed not were moved with envy. There you go, envy. And so they took unto them certain vile fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out. When they found him not, they drew Jason and certain brothers unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here also." Now Paul had that effect everywhere he went, and it was always the Jew, the legalizer, the one who wanted to hold on to the old covenant, who would not accept this preaching. Why was that? Why was that so hard for them to grasp and for them to understand? You know, and the amazing thing is that Paul didn't just teach it. He demonstrated with great authority the truth of it. How? By signs and wonders. But let me show you what when he gets down to Corinth, and he leaves Corinth and he goes over to Ephesus, he writes back to those Corinthians a letter. So let's go to 2 Corinthians and let's look at some of this. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now Paul's writing back to these believers, and he said there's a problem. There's a problem of the heart. Verse 6. He says, "God also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit." Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not endorsing this as what God has done for us, but during the Acts period, this is a call to Israel. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, "Who also," speaking of God, "also," everybody there, "hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." Now that was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not with the church today. But my point is, I'm going to show you that some things are hidden, and even hidden from well-intending people. He goes on, he says, "Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And then he goes through this comparison of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, with the New Covenant. The New Covenant is of the heart. The New Covenant is of the Spirit. The Old Covenant is of the tables, the tablets. The Old Covenant is of the letter, and it is the law. And you have people who are clinging to that and won't give it up. But you also have people who are seeing that there is a change that must occur. And Paul says, what is it that keeps them from seeing it? Well, it's this veil that's been put over their eyes. Verse 12, he says, "Seeing then that we have such a hope," well, he compares it, the new to the old, and he says the new is much glorious. He says, "Seeing then that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." Notice he says that which Moses brought was what? Abolished. Yeah, done away. Another place he puts in verse 11, back up, "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains," the New Testament, the New Covenant, "is more glorious." Verse 13 again, "Not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the old covenant, which veil is done away in Christ." Now it's in Christ that the veil can be removed, but those who clung to the law would not remove the veil. Verse 15, they could have. Many did. Question was asked, could they have removed the veil? Sure, many did. There were many believers. In fact, the letter here is written to those believers. He says in verse 14, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remain the same veil." What was that? The veil that was on Moses, untaken away in the reading of the old covenant, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. See, the veil, it's the heart issue. Nevertheless, verse 16, "When it," that's the heart of man, "shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, seeing we have this ministry, that's the ministry of the new covenant, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced or rejected the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now that's interesting, because he's not there talking about the hidden things of man. He's talking about the hidden things of the worship of Satan. I don't get into that. But he says we have rejected or renounced, but it's more than renounce. It's the idea of rejected the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. Why? Because they haven't accepted Christ. They haven't received Jesus as their Savior. They were hanging on the law. And verse 4 tells us how this is done. In whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What we see here is a picture of something that was revealed but hidden from people. Now, and Sherry and I were talking on this on the road this morning. There are things that people are unaware of ignorantly. And then there's things that people are unaware of willfully, ignorantly. Does that make sense? I mean, Peter talks about that. Go over to Peter real quick. A couple of examples, and then we'll come back to this. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Now see, there is ignorance, and that comes from not studying and not praying and not seeking the will of God. But then there's willful ignorance when you hear the truth and you just reject it. You just put your foot down and say, I don't believe that. I think when I'm saved, I've got everything that belongs to Christ. That's not what God says. And when God says that you need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation given unto you so that you may have the full acknowledgement of Christ, they don't like that either. That they willingly are ignorant of it. They just choose to say, I don't believe what God has to say. That's not uncommon. Peter did it, you know, when he said, who do you say that I am? And Jesus asked him, who am I? And he said, you're Christ. And he said, good job. Well done. What you said is right. But let me tell you something. I'm going to have to be crucified and buried, and the third day I'm going to rise again. And Peter stood up and he said, far be it from thee, Lord. And what did he say to him? He said, you know, you're just ignorant, Peter. No, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. There is a warfare. We see that in Corinthians. We see it over in Ephesians. And now there's another thing. There's things that are hidden by God that he just keeps hidden. For instance, in Matthew chapter 13, there's the mysteries of the kingdom. We see that in verse 10. After the parable of the sower and the seed, in Matthew 13, verse 10, but the disciples came to him. He'd been out with the multitude, and he told them the parable. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, that's the disciples, because it's given unto you, that's the disciples, to know what the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, what's it say? It's not given. And he gives two reasons for this. He gives the first reason is there in verse 12 and 13. Whosoever has, to him shall be given. He shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, see, it's a heart issue. And it's not any different when we come to the fellowship of the mystery. God says, well, look right up here. He says, from the beginning of the ages, was hidden in him. Not in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture. Whereas the mystery of Christ was hidden in Scripture. Paul tells us that. Quickly, though, I want to show you. There's a second thing. In verse 35, he explains why he does this in parables. And to some it's been given and some not. Verse 35, it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. This is from Psalms 78. The prophet saying, I'll open my mouth in parables. I'll utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So all the things that pertain to Abraham that God has, through Christ, has kept secret or hushed up or hasn't fully revealed, and there are things that he's kept secret and things that are hushed up, God, he says that these are the reasons why I'm doing it. And he's specific that he says these things come from to them from the foundation. Whereas what does he say over here? Now look up here again. He says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God. So you, from the foundation, you won't find anything about this fellowship, this administration. And a couple of weeks ago, if you're just coming into this lesson now, a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with that word fellowship, oikonomia, house rule. And we dealt with the fact that it is an administration of God, and it's a new one. It's the 2U. It's unique, and that was never before revealed. And it was unforeseen, never in any of the ages or in any of the generations, the people that existed prior to that time. Now, I want to show you in Romans real quick. We're going to quit here. But in Romans chapter 1, and I had so many other things I wanted to show. I'm not going to have a chance to do that. I wanted to show you in Galatians how they persecuted Paul, and that it was, he says, I wanted to come to you several times, but Satan had what? Do you remember that? Hindered me. There's many other passages that we can talk about. You know, there's some depths to Satan that we have no idea that Paul talks about, or not Paul, but John writes about in Revelation, that in that time when God's judgment is going to be exercised in the tribulation period down here on this earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom, there are some things that we don't have any clue to, and we're not supposed to. And I'll just use the phrase that he uses in Revelation chapter 2, to the church at, I think it's Thyatira, but it's in chapter 2, verse 24. He says there's some depths of Satan that that church has gone to with Jezebel. And he doesn't explain them. He doesn't get into them. We don't need to. But they're an abomination to God. And you remember when what God does? He brings out the seven seals, and then what's next? The seven trumpets. And then there's the seven vials. And you remember the seven vials? Seal it up. See, there's things even there he doesn't reveal, but there'll be a time when what? They'll be revealed on this earth. God does hide things. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, we see Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. What's the gospel of God? It's the good news of the salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of God. And that's revealed in the Old Testament prophets. But the calling in the heavenlies far above, of which the fellowship of the mystery makes known, was never before seen, never before heard of. And rightfully so, because when God began his plan here on earth, he knew he would choose one man, Abraham, and through his seed, all the nations on this earth would receive an inheritance and a blessing. But the blessing in the heavenlies far above was reserved to be a demonstration to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now that's what we're going to get to next week. But I just, some of these passages help us see that there are things that God does hide. There are things that God does reveal, but in their time. And there are things that God reveals and men willfully choose to be ignorant of them. And they will receive the reward of what they do here in the flesh in regard to what God's called them to do. In fact, you see that there in chapter 1 of Romans in verse 5, by whom we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations. Now see, that's their commission. Go ye therefore into all nations. That's what they're supposed to do. But that obedience to the faith that God gave them is what they'll be judged. And there'll be that day when fire will destroy what's wood, hay, and stubble. And what remains that's been built on that foundation, Christ, will be their reward. Well, I probably bit off too big a subject matter for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. But I hope that this will encourage you. Just read it and spend some time with it and see that there are some things. And God does desire that you spend time studying the Word. He desires that you spend time desiring to get to know. And that you have a responsibility to make others know what is the fellowship of this mystery. I mean, that's what it says. To make all, that's your commission. To make others see. Now, you, in prayer, God will accomplish that. But by your own means, God won't accomplish that. I've seen men sit and study this and get an understanding of the mind of it, but never of the heart. And it is a heart issue. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us a particular calling through the Apostle Paul, particularly and especially to us Gentiles. And that calling encompasses the body of your dear Son. We thank you, Lord, that we have that opportunity to be given something that we can't gain, and to have something revealed to us that we can't find. So we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this full acknowledgement. We pray that each ear that hears this message have that same opportunity. We thank you, Father, for these graces in Christ Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.